Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. My co-host, David Ramil, is not here today. He is on vacation. He is on a plane, probably somewhere over Kansas right now. But we're going to do this solo. We have a game to recap. The Miami Heat beat the Orlando Magic 107-77 last night. Recording this on a Wednesday morning. So it's going to come to you a little bit later than usual. Couldn't get to it last night, so recording this on a Wednesday morning. But before we get to the recap, I did want to address the recent rumors, the trade rumors around Rudy Gay and Goran Dragic. Basketball Insiders recently reported that the Miami Heat have had discussions with the Kings in a deal that involves Goran Dragic going to Sacramento in return for the forward Rudy Gay, as well as Darren Collison. Now, this jives with a report last week by ESPN's Zach Lowe stating that both teams have had, quote-unquote, vague trade talks. So there's been a linkage between the Kings and the Heat already this summer. And I got a chance to watch Rudy Gay in person last night. I was covering the Sacramento Kings versus the Clippers game last night. And if he had heard these rumors, which I can assume he did, we already heard that Rudy Gay was interested in playing in Miami, right? Like, that's something we heard this summer. So if he heard that rumor, this, in many ways, was a tryout for Rudy Gay. And he didn't do very well at all. I thought he actually was very disappointing if this was indeed a tryout for him. It's preseason. It's really, I don't even need to get into the stats, but basically, there were a number of times where he would just turn the ball over. He couldn't finish at the rim. He missed a lot of long threes, long jumpers. Just dumb mistakes. I mean, Chris Paul at one point, Rudy Gay was trying to back down Chris Paul, which I guess you would do, right? You're a 6'8 forward against a point guard. That point guard is Chris Paul, one of the best defensive point guards we've ever seen, but it's still a point guard. So you understand him going in the post. And Chris Paul just destroyed him. I mean, he took the bench right out from under him, and Rudy Gay turned it over. And there were a number of plays like that. There were a number of plays where he would go up to the rim, try to dunk, try to lay up, wouldn't finish. Maybe got ahead of himself a few times and lost his handle. Overall, I wasn't impressed. It's some just really bad passes. There are a couple times where he made some nice steals, but, you know, I thought that was more just, you know, the Clippers being loose with the handle and Rudy Gay just kind of being in the right place at the right time and grabbing the loose ball off the floor. It wasn't so much his defense that led to the turnover, but he did get credit for the steal. But as a player, he is somebody that has a reputation for really being able to make his own shot. And there's some nights where he can. Some nights where he can create his own shot. But last night he couldn't. Against a Clippers defense, which isn't bad, but isn't great either. Especially, you know, he's going against Luke Mbamute, the starting small forward for the Clippers, who's good. He's fine. But, you know, that's not Kawhi Leonard. That's not, I mean, he's in there because of his defense. Mbamute is, but that's the kind of opponent that Rudy Gay needs to be able to, if the Heat are going to trade somebody with the caliber of Goran Dragic, that's somebody that Rudy Gay needs to be able to beat and take advantage of. And I just thought he couldn't. And I'm not sure, I think I doubt his ability to create his own shot, and I just do think that he'll sometimes just take his own shot. I mean, he's not Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson legitimately could make his own shot. He could jab step. He had a few moves that he could pull, and he would get an open shot. Rudy Gay will just take shots, you know? And, you know, that's been the book on him. And it's probably why he hasn't been able to stick around on one team for all that long. Meanwhile, Goran Dragic just had a really, really strong preseason. He's moving the ball well within Miami's new pace and space scheme. He's setting the tone. He's setting the pace. He is not lighting up the scoreboard as far as points and assists. I mean, he's not Russell Westbrook out there. He never will be. He never was. But he's doing exactly what the Heat need him to do. He's fitting within the offense. He's controlling the pace of the game. He's getting others involved. At this rate, I wouldn't be surprised if he averaged 16, 17 points a game with 6 or 7 assists a game. And those are very, very good numbers. Those are all-star level numbers for a point guard. And with the way Dragic is playing and the way he's taking to the system, it doesn't make sense to move him for Rudy Gay. But let's talk about it briefly anyway. Just because reportedly these conversations have happened, and I don't want to knock Basketball Insiders. They do good work over there, but this isn't Adrian Wojnarowski reporting it. The fact that Zach Lowe did report that there's been vague trade talks does give that report a little bit more legitimacy. There seems to be some sort of smoke around a Kings and Heat deal for a good portion of the summer already, so this is worth exploring. The trade doesn't make sense. We already talked about that. It also doesn't make sense because it's not like the Heat would be getting younger with Rudy Gay. They're both 30 years old. Rudy Gay and Goran Dragic, they're both 30 years old. Like, it doesn't make sense as far as going younger. Where it does make sense is filling in at the power forward position where the Heat are lacking. Right now, Derek Williams looks like the projected starter. We're going to talk about that later when I award the power forward belt. But that's with Chris Bosh gone, that's the biggest need. And Rudy Gay is naturally a small forward, but would probably play a stretch four and could do it, a stretch four position in Miami's system. So in that regard, that makes sense. The Heat don't have a bona fide backup small forward behind Justice Winslow. Wayne Ellington started at small forward last night in their win against the Magic. He played well, but he's not a small forward. He's a shooting guard. So having another versatile forward who can play the 3 and the 4 makes a lot of sense. I just don't think it makes sense when it's Rudy Gay. A trade involving Dragic for Rudy Gay and Darren Collison. Darren Collison is serving an 8-game suspension for domestic battery charges that he pleaded guilty to. That's not a good look. Rudy Gay with his ball stopping, that's not good. But that's kind of the gist of the deal that's being reported by Basketball Insiders. And, you know, I think most Heat fans are against that trade. I don't think Heat fans are up and down Biscayne Bay raving about Goran Dragic and how much they love him, but they also understand that he's a better option than Rudy Gay. I think Goran Dragic is going to have a very good season. I think anything we saw from this preseason, from his increased role on the team, from the fact that Dwayne Wade and Joe Johnson and Luol Deng aren't there to take touches from him, now it's really his show that he's going to run. I think he's going to have an outstanding year. He might have the best season of his career, but a lot of Heat fans, I don't think that, but they're still against this Rudy Gay trade. And that's why this doesn't make it doesn't make sense to that level. The only reason I can see this happening is if the Heat are really trying to tank, because Rudy Gay has a player option at the end of the season for $14 million for next year. And if the Heat were to trade for him, maybe they're hoping that he would opt out of that deal, therefore clearing almost $14 million in cap space, because you're getting out from under Goran Dragic's contract, which is a good contract. They'd be getting out from under that. They'd be gaining $14 million because Rudy Gay would opt out of his deal. Darren Collison's contract is expiring, so they obviously wouldn't bring him back. And now all of a sudden you have $14 million more to play with in free agency. Plus whatever happens with Chris Bosh's salary. Could be $23 million extra, could be $15 more million if they want to stretch his contract out and waive him that way. That could potentially give them enough money to go after a big-name free agent. But what big-name free agent is going to come to a team that's a completely young team full of second and third year players. I mean, is Blake Griffin signing up for that? I don't know. I mean, not when the Celtics have money and the Clippers can just re-sign him. I just don't see that happening. Gordon Hayward, maybe, but the Utah Jazz look really good, and they're just as young, if not younger, than the Heat are. So I just don't see that as a rebuilding option. In general, this trade doesn't make sense, especially given that Rudy Gay can opt out. I mean, on the flip side, if they don't want Rudy Gay to opt out, well, he can, right? So now you're not even guaranteed that you're signing him back. So by trading Dragic on a long-term favorable deal, you're getting Rudy Gay, who could opt out, who's just as old as Dragic. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. So that's as much as I'll talk about that, because I do think that this report will die. I don't see this kind of deal happening. If they do acquire Rudy Gay somehow, it won't be... I don't see it being in return for Dragic. It's just... If I'm going to find a pro in there, it's that by trading Dragic, you free up Miami's young guards, Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, Briante Weber even, to get more playing time, more touches. And if you're really looking forward in a developmental way, well, that makes sense. And since you don't have your long-term answer at power forward anyway, you might as well put Rudy Gay there. I get that. But I don't think any of these guards right now on the Heat's roster are true point guards. I think Tyler Johnson is a six-man combo guard. That's his role. He's commented that he doesn't mind coming off the bench. I think he likes coming off the bench. I think he likes playing that role. I think he's comfortable in that position. That's the role that got him paid $50 million over 4 years this last summer. I mean, of course he likes that role. That's where he thrives. Josh Richardson, to me, is more of a two guard that can handle the ball a little bit. He's a secondary ball handler, and he's a very valuable one, but he's not a starting point guard. You know, Briante Weber is not ready yet, and I don't know if he'll be ready to be a starting point guard in this league. At best, I think he might be a backup point guard in this league, which is fine. He could be a good backup point guard in this league who can come in, play good defense, hit a couple of jumpers as he continues to develop that jump shot, and that'll be it. I don't see a starting level young point guard on this roster, so you might as well keep Dragic, let him run the show, get guys involved, set his teammates up for success, and that will help their development. So even if you're looking with an eye towards the future, this isn't the trade to make if you're trying to dump Dragic. This is not the trade to make. That's as much as I want to talk about that. Let's get into last night's Heat game. Really impressive win. The Heat are now 4-2 in the preseason. That's the second best record in the Eastern Conference in the preseason, by the way. And Willie Reed had a really strong game. He had his first strong game, really, for the Heat. 16 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks in 29 minutes. He had a really strong game filling in for Hassan Whiteside, who missed the game. He was at the funeral of his late great grandmother. So best wishes to Whiteside, his family. But Willie Reed stepped in, played well. I think that he really needed that. Miami had been playing Udonis Haslem a lot at the backup center position. In previous games, they've even played James Johnson over Willie Reed as the backup five. They recently signed another center, letting go of Stefan Jankovic. They signed a new center. So I don't think that they have been completely satisfied with Willie Reed. I know that Willie Reed was a guy who a lot of Heat fans are really high on, really excited for, but hasn't really lived up to the expectations up until last night. Had a really, really strong game against Orlando. So hopefully that's something that will continue for the rest of these few preseason games and into the regular season, and he can cement his status as the backup center. So that was important. Wayne Ellington started for Justice Winslow. We mentioned that. Another strong game, 12 points, 4 for 6 from 3-point range. And I'll tell you, the backcourt, Goran Dragic, Deion Waiters, and Tyler Johnson, they continue to be the core of this team. Without Justice Winslow in there especially, they were still able to step up defensively. Deion Waiters handled a lot of tough assignments. Wayne Ellington was strong. Even though he has a bad rap on defense, I thought he played well on that side of the ball. Tyler Johnson, 15 points. Deion Waiters, 15 points. Goran Dragic, 17 points, 5 assists. And that group, that trio right there, continues to impress, even without Josh Richardson in there, who I think will slide in and play along those guys seamlessly. I think he fits in really, really well with those guys. Especially defensively, he can defend the top assignment while Waiters while Winslow hasn't been in, Waiters has been guarding the top assignment. He's basically Miami's second best perimeter defender right now. Throw Josh Richardson in there. And all of a sudden, you have three guards who can defend at a high level. In Waiters, Richardson, and Winslow, you have three perimeter players who can defend at a high level. And then with Dragic, Waiters, and Tyler Johnson, you have three guys who can create at a high level. They can create shots for themselves and their teammates. That group right there has been really, really impressive. And has been among their top three players in every preseason game so far. So it's been really impressive. Not really much to take away from this game, other than the fact that the Heat won by 40 points. Orlando doesn't look good. There were a lot of projections this before the preseason even started about kind of having Orlando and Miami in the same area. I think Miami is going to be much better than this Orlando team. I know it's preseason, small sample size. Orlando didn't have a lot of its players, but it is, you know, pretty clear that the Magic don't really, they're still with the transition of Frank Vogel coming in, who I like as a coach, with so many new free agents who are used to doing things. I mean, this isn't like the Heat, who brought in a number of young guys and a bunch of guys who had been role players, you know, not to say that signing a Wayne Ellington is better than acquiring Serge Ibaka, but I think that there is a certain amount of adjustments that guys like Serge Ibaka and Jeff Green and Bismack Biyombo, guys who had been big time role players, if not all stars for their teams, come in. You know, it's different than the sort of adjustment that Wayne Ellington has to make, James Johnson has to make, Derek Williams has to make. So, guys who are, you know, not key role players, but normal rotation type guys. That said, I think that the Heat, their roster makes more sense, and I do think that they're going to end up winning more games than Orlando, and I'm not really in love with this Orlando team. Not, again, small sample size, don't want to ride off the Magic, but they just didn't look good last night, and they haven't looked good all preseason. They're 1-5. So, okay. Let's get to the power forward belt. That's going to Derek Williams, who it sounds like has won the starting power forward job, at least for the time being. 27 minutes last night, 8 points, 7 rebounds, assist, and a steal. I do want to talk about James Johnson really quickly. First, though, he played a little bit of 5, played a little bit of 4, really liked his energy off the bench, played 9 minutes, had 6 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 blocks in the first half. James Johnson, I think, is going to be more of a 4-5 than a 3-4. And that's what we've seen so far in the preseason. And that could become... I like when they play him at 5 because that spaces the floor out a little bit more. He's not a long-range shooter, but he's better than Willie Reed. He is more of a threat along the perimeter than Willie Reed. Obviously more athletic, more versatile. Not to say Willie Reed isn't, but James Johnson, you know, is a forward. So I like that look. I like his combo bigness, so to speak, between the 4 and the 5. That gives Miami a lot of options, especially with given that Josh McRoberts was sort of supposed to play that role. I think James Johnson, in McRoberts' continuing rehab of whatever injury it is that he has right now, his lifelong rehab, that James Johnson coming in filling that role will be key. That means Derek Williams and Luke Babbitt are probably the guys who are competing at the 4. And with Babbitt's recent injury and he's recovering from that, it seems that Derek Williams has locked down that position. He's the most versatile of all of these guys. You know, he could pass the ball. He can move the ball. When he's hot, he becomes a threat from outside. But on any given night, he's somebody that can grab a rebound, push it down the floor, keep the pace up, just be a glue guy, filling in, not take anything off the table. And that, I think, is what's important, because if you look at this roster, there's a lot of guys, especially the starting group with Dragic and Whiteside and Justice Winslow, they're bringing a lot of things to the table. And Williams not taking anything off the table is important. You don't have to worry about him necessarily when it comes to spacing the floor, because he's respectable enough with his outside shot. And you don't have to worry about him defensively, because, again, he's good enough. He had a plus one last night, but he's typically been higher than that. And so far it looks like he makes the most sense. So right now the power forward belt goes to Derek. Power forward belt, by the way, still looking for a sponsor if you're interested. And he seems to have a lockdown in that position. Likewise, Dion Waiters seems to have a lockdown at the two guard spot. And that's that, as long as or until Josh Richardson returns. So with that, let's get to the spotlight player of the game. And even though Dragic and Ellington and Waiters and Tyler Johnson, Willie Reed, all these guys had really strong games, I could even dive in more into James Johnson, but I do want to just take, I think this is a good opportunity to talk about Rodney Magruder. Point range, he's 5 for 16 during the preseason, which isn't necessarily great, but he does have that range. Again, it's small sample size. I know he can shoot that ball. He's athletic. He's got good hops. You know, he's a guy that reminds me a lot of Tyler Johnson when he was coming out. You know, just one of these guys who seems to be in the right place at the right time, tries really hard on defense, tries really hard on offense. One of those guys that just perform well when you put him on the floor. And the Heat have had a knack for finding these guys recently. Magruder was a plus 29 plus minus last night. And I don't want to dive too much into plus minus numbers because those more tell a story than necessarily explain the value of a player. But Magruder was strong last night for Miami. 8 points, 2 assists, and a rebound. 3 for 8 field goals. Again, not a box score that's going to jump off the page. But he was impressive when he was on the floor, and I think he's done a lot. At 6'5", 200-plus pounds, he's got good size. You know, I don't know if there's a roster spot for him, but there ought to be, because he was the Sioux Falls Skyforce best two-way player last season in their D-League championship run. And if the Heat don't sign him, and find a spot for him on the 15-man roster, then I do think that another team is going to scoop him up. And to me, when you're the Heat and you don't have a lot of assets, you've already traded 2 future firsts for Goran Dragic, you know, so those are gone. And I do think Dragic is going to prove to make a lot of that value back. But you still don't have those picks to acquire more young players, and this is a young rebuilding team. You need to keep these young guys. And I talked about earlier in this offseason that I don't see Miami releasing Josh McRoberts, just flat out waiving him. But I could see it now if it comes down to being able to keep Rodney Magruder. Nobody is trading for Josh McRoberts. They've been trying to trade that contract for much too long. I could see them trying to stretch that contract or just flat out waiving him in order to sign and keep Magruder. Now, I'm not saying Magruder is that good, but like I just talked about, James Johnson is filling in that Josh McRoberts role really nicely. If he can do that, there's really not going to be much need for McRoberts. If you want to hold on to as many assets as you can, maybe it makes sense. And maybe the Heat take, you know, maybe they make one more, you know, shot at trying to move McRoberts in that contract. Maybe they try to do that one more time before Monday's cutoff deadline, where NBA teams have to, you know, trim their roster to the 15 players. Miami currently has 20 players on its roster, but I wonder if there's a move out there that the Heat can make in order to keep Magruder, because I do worry. We've talked a lot about this in regards to Briante Weber. If they don't sign him to this 15-man roster, then they run the risk of another team picking him up. I think they run that risk with Rodney Magruder. And I'd hate to see him go because I think he could be a valuable player to this team. And that's why I wanted to focus on him on the spotlight. Not necessarily, you know, spotlight, we usually do dive deep into a player's performance in a particular game, but I did want to just take that opportunity to talk specifically about Magruder. I think he's earned the roster spot. And I think a lot of people that cover the team think that as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. Not that 15-man roster is not set in stone. I think that Briante Weber has made a very good case that he should be the backup point guard over Beno Udrih. I've been on the side that says that I think that the Heat will ultimately side with Beno. That might not be the case right now. They They gave him the guaranteed contract, but that's a guaranteed contract. They paid him back. You know, they paid him back for what he was able to do and help the team last year. If anything, he can go make more money by signing a second deal with another team and taking his guaranteed money from Miami, walking away, and taking another deal from another team and playing backup point guard for them, maybe. But it makes a lot of sense to look ahead and keep Briante Weber, especially if you're a guard rotation. Benno's not played at all during this preseason. Briante has. I think they're probably just trying to get a better look at Briante because they know what they have with Benno. But even so, it's only been really in garbage time that they've played one of those guys, that they've played Briante Weber. This guard rotation is really going to be Dragic, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, Richardson when he comes back, and Wayne Ellington probably. And there might not be enough room for a true backup point guard because the way Waiters and Tyler Johnson have been facilitating the ball and the fact that Josh Richardson can do that as well, there's not a need for a pure backup point guard. And if that's the case, then it doesn't make sense to have Ben Udry sitting at the end of the bench just being a veteran presence where you can have a young guy like Briante Weber, have him on the 15-man roster. I've always said he needs more seasoning in the D-League. You add him to this 15-man roster, you give him that roster spot, and you can still send him down to the D-League. And I think that's probably the best case. That's the best use out of that roster spot. So, all right. Well, that's our show for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. You can get in touch with the show on Twitter at Locked On Heat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions or comments. Inquire about advertising if you want to sponsor that power forward belt. It's still open. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And that's it. Catch you next time.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.